Boy, what a blessing to be able to be here this morning, and I've already met several of you, and I appreciate your friendliness and your connectivity, and want to be a help. Let's open our Bibles right off the bat. We're going to go to a familiar territory this morning is where we'll start, in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 10, and we'll want to be able to focus there a little bit. And you know, I'll be honest with you, a lot of churches I go to, it's a blessing to be able to speak in the Sunday school hour. And what I usually try to do is try to use this as an informative time. Pastor knows everything about missions. He's lived it. He's done it. And he can give you a lot of teaching on missions and different things. But what I want to do is I want to be able to share with you exactly what missionaries go through from a missionary perspective. And I believe you're going to have a little bit of amens probably from Joanne and Brother Brenson here. And just because of experience. Because I want church people here in America to be able to understand what a missionary goes through when they go to a field, so everyone in our churches can understand and be able to pray for the missionaries. We've got to be able to get prayer back in our churches. A lot of times the missions conference, what it is all focused on the faith promise, which is wonderful. It's focused on maybe ascending and a going. But you know what? We've got to have prayer in our churches. We've got to get prayer in our individual membership. Or else we're going to be a weak Christian. We're not going to be effective. And many times our church people don't really know what missionaries do, so we get a generic prayer request. I call them like a shotgun prayer. God, please bless the missionaries! Just like when you shoot a shotgun full of birdshot. Kaboom! I hope I got them all. I hope I got covered all the missionaries and all the prayer requests and everything like that. But we don't know what to pray for. As we pray for encouragement, as we pray for language acquisition, as we pray for the understanding of culture and so forth. So this is what I want to be able to go into. I want to be helpful. And I hope to give a little bit. I need a clock. Where's the clock? Where is it? You don't have any clocks here, brother. Oh, man. All right. Well, usually most churches I preach in, there's a massive clock. And usually the sound guy, when he wires me up, I had one guy tell me, he said, "Now, preacher," he says, this microphone self-destructs. He says, "Now, 5 minutes before, it'll start smoking. 5 minutes after, it self-destructs. So you better make sure you're out on time." All right. Now, he didn't tell me now that today. I appreciate that. God bless you. But usually start going, and you go a bit too long, it starts blinking, you know, and so forth. But all right, I'll kind of keep track here. But I hope to be able to maybe have some time for questions a little bit afterwards. Don't ask me too hard of ones. They're still early in the morning. I only had one cup of coffee. All right. But anyhow, it was good cup, too. Miss Collins, boy, she makes a good cup. All right. Okay, are you there in Romans chapter? We're going to turn Romans chapter 10. And I hope this is a very familiar passage. Let's begin in a very familiar verse, I hope. Romans 10:13. For, what's the next word? Whosoever. Boy, I like that word, amen. For whosoever, that's anybody. Does it matter what race you are, what creed you are, where you're from, where your background is? For whosoever, let's read it now, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Now, how many of you maybe were shown that verse when someone was talking to you about salvation? Were you shown that verse? All right. Yes. Yes. Wonderful. And it's a special verse because you know what? This whole passage, we're going to read a couple verses here, is a passage there. It just talks about the whole is biblical missions. Verse 13, it just talks about the method of salvation. Okay. It's a call. But verse 14 quantifies the call in the first part of that. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So it's not just a calling, it's a believing. Amen. We believe in Christ. We call upon Him for salvation. Lord, help me. Lord, save me. But it is a calling of belief. Amen. However, if we go on, it talks about, the last part of the verse talks about the importance of human involvement. All right, let's go on now. And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? You've got to hear it, don't you? And how shall they hear without a preacher? The human element is very much necessary when it comes to salvation. I thank God for every Bible that's printed, for every type of tract that's printed, and we need to pass them out, we need to use them out. But you know what? It takes the human person giving it out, giving out the gospel, which helps to bring understanding. Of course, it's the work of the Holy Spirit, of course. But God needs His people to do His work. Amen. Verse 15, the first part of that verse talks about the responsibility of the local church. And how shall they preach except they be what? Sent. That's right. And that's the purpose here. Missions conference, we always talk about being about the sending. And that's important. Of missionaries being out and going out and being sent out, praise the Lord. But being sent is simply going out those doors. As soon as you go out those doors right now, you are entering the mission field. You don't have to fly over a body of water. You don't have to cross over into a different country. You don't have to get your passport stamped. You are simply, when you go out those doors, you are entering the mission field, and God needs human involvement to be able to preach the gospel, to be able to share the gospel, to be able to give out a tract, to be able to give out a Bible, to be able to understand and help them to understand the gospel. And it is the call of belief. Amen. Mission conference is about sending, and that's good. My job is to try to make sure that those that are sent specifically to Africa go with the best training, equipped with the best resources to be able to do the work God's led them to do. So we have to understand, if this passage is biblical missions, that means everything that missions is revolves around the gospel. It doesn't matter. We have a lot of things. You know, there's a lot of things that are going around churches today that are called missions that aren't biblical missions. It has to do about giving out the gospel. I don't care if you're a nurse and you're helping to administer medicine. That's great. We need you on the mission field. But you better have the goal is being the gospel. Amen. I like the Davises doing great work now, hopefully with construction. Praise the Lord. But the goal is not to hammer a nail. The goal is not to build a well to bead. No, the goal is the gospel. Church planting. That's the goal. That is biblical missions. So if the gospel is biblical missions, therefore it is very important that we present it properly. And this is one thing I want you to understand about a missionary. The gospel first has to be understood. Understood. How many of you realize, specifically in Africa, that I cannot get up just like I am right now, and the way I am speaking now, even in Nigeria, yeah, and actually speak with my American accent, and everyone understand the gospel? You're not going to get it. I've had a bunch of good old boys from down south, and they come out to Africa, and they just think everybody's going to understand exactly what they're saying. But do you realize in between an American English and a Southern English and an African English, you need four or five translators. You know that. The gospel must be understood. One of the first things you can do to be able to pray for your missionaries is pray for them to understand and be able to learn the local language. Oh my, how important it is. You can be able, perhaps, to talk to someone and maybe win someone to Christ through a translator, but you're not going to be able to pastor through a translator. How many of you would come to pastor for counseling if someone else in the church had to be there to translate for them? That would be awkward, wouldn't it? So that's why our missionaries need to make sure that they know the language. Pray for your missionaries. I'll tell you what, one of the difficult things that I had, and I'll probably talk a little bit later on during the week here about it, but we had people all excited about when we first got to the field. Hey, Brother Bowman, tell me how many people got saved and how many churches been planted. Now, I've only been there a couple weeks, you know. And tell me, we're all excited about it. All right. I'm like, you're kidding me. I just learned out how to ask where's the bathroom type thing, okay? I have no idea. I just pray for your missionaries. Because the sad thing is that some missionaries, because of pressure from supporting churches, do not do their due diligence with language study. And then they have difficulty pastoring their people. Pray for your missionaries. Pray for them. And encourage them. Give them time. Say, when your missionaries get to the field, say, you better spend the time learning the language. Get in it. We want you to be able to get it and learn it and be able to utilize it. But languages are different. In Africa, there's over 3,000 languages. How many can you learn? All right. Now, there's a lot of them. Some of them are smaller dialects. Some have similarities. But yeah, this is difficult. Now, then there's your languages and dialects. Then you have your trade languages, and that's usually a predominant tribal area in the area that is maybe a larger in population or whatever, and they use that language to be a trade language, which is more for business. It's a business language to help with commerce and so forth. And then, and there's about 100 of those around Africa. All right, about 100. So 3,000 down to 100, hey, that's pretty good, all right? But still, how many can you learn? Well, how many of you realize that most Africans know 2 languages, 3 languages, sometimes more? Oh, yeah. They know several. Most will know 1 of 18 major trade languages. All right. So from 3,000 down to 100 down to 18. Well, that's pretty good. Praise the Lord. And those are the languages, obviously, we focus on. We want to make sure that our missionaries know these major trade languages so they can be able to communicate broadly. Many times if you just learn a tribal language, then you are confined geographically maybe to a smaller location. Be able to learn now the trade language or a major trade language. And we're trying to help them to learn and to be effective on the mission field. Pray for your missionaries. Pray for your missionaries. The language that we learned is Swahili. That is one of the 18 major trade languages. Swahili is used in 16 of the countries there in Africa. All right. Now let's see how everyone knows their geography. All right. How many countries are in Africa? Now you do realize that Africa is not a country. Now I've had a few people tell me that. Right there, Africa. That there is a big country. No, continent. It's a continent. All right. It's the second largest continent in both land mass as well as population. All right? There are 54 countries in Africa. Every one of them unique. Every one of them different. Own language. Own set of rules and laws. And passport requirements and visa requirements and all of that good stuff. And then there's, besides the 54 countries, there's 8 territories still. So there's 62 places we can put missionaries in. Amen. Wonderful. BIMI, we're the largest independent Baptist mission board working in Africa. We have the largest footprint. And we are only in 25. We're in all the easy countries. Now we're going to have to get into some difficult ones. And we need to make sure we learn the language. Pray for your missionaries. Pray for them. Praise God, God allowed us to be able to know Swahili. Let me quote to you John 3:16. Would you like to hear that? All right. Let's say it in English, all right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Swahili, it sounds like this. Kwa maana jinsi hii. Mungu. That's God. Mungu. Aliupenda ulimwengu. Hata kamtoa mwanawe peke. Ili kila mtu amwaminie asipote, bali awe na uzima wa milele. Amen? You think, right? Yeah, that was John 3:16. Yes. Amen. And what a blessing is to be able to utilize that language and for the gospel. And let me tell you, it's just as beautiful in Swahili as we think it is in English. And you have to be able to use that. The gospel must be understood. Next, the gospel should not be presented offensively. So what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, see, the gospel in and of itself is typically offensive in message. Yeah. Some people can be offended by the gospel. You say, why would they be offended by something that's free? Well, it's because it is exclusive. It's through Jesus and him alone. Don't listen to everything else that other people talk about. There are many roads. There are no roads. There is one way. Amen. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. There's only one way. So it's exclusively Jesus Christ. And you know what? In some cultures, that's offensive. And I understand that. I will not compromise the message of salvation, but I never want to present it in an offensive manner. And that's why whenever you are presenting the gospel, be sure you're presenting it in the attitude of Christian love. Amen. That's how God did it. For God so loved. He loved, therefore he gave. Amen. So that's how we as missionaries, we have to be very careful that we understand local culture. Now, here in America, many times we don't have really American culture that so much per se. Because we are a melting pot of all kinds of cultures from all different countries, all in, and we're a little bit of a mix of everything. Yeah, there are some places here in America and some areas and pockets where there may be some culture. And down here in the South, we're polite, okay? At least we pretend to be. Bless your heart, right? Down here, you can say anything you want to as long as you say bless your heart after that, you know, right? But there's some culture that we have. But you realize in most countries of the world that aren't a melting pot of culture such as here in America, culture is very rigid and well-defined. So we coming from a area that really doesn't have a whole lot of culture, as far as specific American culture, and we just come in and we're just ourselves, right? and we can highly offend people. The joke usually is a typical American tourist can offend at least a dozen people before he leaves the airport. Just because of just our, we just don't understand. Do you realize when you call people in most cultures, you don't call them, hey, come over here. You don't call them like this. My goodness, this is horribly offensive. You would never go like this. This is how you call a dog. My goodness, you would never do that. You would turn your hand like this. But this is how you would gesture towards someone. And you're like, you're kidding me? Yeah. Big offense in some areas. You have to be very careful. We want to make sure that we help to understand culture right. Now, typically, as we all came in this morning, we all greeted everyone. Now, that's one thing we as Americans, we don't have a whole lot. You know, we don't really greet, we grunt. All right. But in most places in Africa, it's very, very important you greet properly, and it is a physical handshake. All right. It's a physical contact. And we even had to work with our girls, you know. It's a physical contact. You know, you don't do this thing where little girls that come up and shake people's hands and no. All right. Very, very important. Give that physical handshake. Greetings are very important. Let me show you a couple things in culture. Who can I pick on? Preacher? Right? Who is it? Wes? Wes? Come on up here, Wes. Boy, couldn't you pick on someone smaller? This guy can whoop up on me. Yeah. All right. We want to make sure we greet properly, all right? And there's cultures. Now, this is very prominent in West Africa, all right? And a handshake is very important. And there's different handshakes, all right? And different handshakes have different meanings. Now, you go to in some of the inner cities in America here, they have all kinds of different handshakes and all of that. Well, I'm not talking about all that. But there's some different handshakes that are symbolic, all right? In West Africa, this is a very common handshake. This is a handshake of friendship. All right? Shake hands like this, and then slide back, and then I snap your finger, and you snap mine. Yeah, a little bit like that. Yeah, there you go. Let's try that again. All right? Like that, a little bit slower. All right? There we are. Good. He's pretty good. All right? Yeah. It's a handshake of friendship. You know, usually you need some good African sweat on there a little bit to get a good pop, all right? It really helps. But that is, by the way, a handshake that's used in church. All right? And, you have everyone shake hands and so forth. Amen. I think God likes that. All right? We're supposed to be friends, ain't we? All right. We're supposed to be friends in the church, right? And so that's very, very important to give a proper handshake. Here I am, obviously a foreigner, coming into someone's culture. And they are seeing me as an outsider. And by the way, sadly, they view in some places the God of the universe as a stranger. So here we are bringing the God of the universe in. That should be everyone's God. And we're bringing in that message. And I want to be able, I am in their culture. All right? When Jesus came, he took upon the form of a servant. Came in the likeness of men. Jesus came as one of us. Tempted at all points, yet without sin. Amen? So we come into their culture, and I want to be able to learn this. So I want to be a friend. All right? Especially a big guy. I want to be his friend. All right. You be my friend? Okay. All right. Let's do that. All right. And we want to make sure we shake hands appropriately. Another thing. Now, this is in East Africa. East Africa highly respects age. Highly respects age. How many of you like that? I like when you hear that. How many of you want to move to East Africa now? Highly respects age. You realize in the area that we worked in East Africa, in Kenya, for right at that spot where we were, the life expectancy of a man was about 46. So if you have someone that is of age, they are highly respected. And we want to make sure that we respect them. And of course, who's usually the leader of a village? All right, the chief and all of that. And they're older, respected people. And we want to make sure that we give them proper respect. So this is what we would do as far as a greeting in East Africa. We would not give a common greeting as saying like we would in America, hello or hi or something like that. Or deep south, they go howdy. All right. Well, we wouldn't do that, which is the common greeting there is jambo. 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 You want to say that? Jambo. Not jumbo. No, jumbo is when I'm 10 pounds over. Okay. And that's when I'm jumbo. Okay. This is not jumbo. This is jambo. All right. Say it. Jambo. All right. So that we wouldn't say a common greeting. I would say a very respectful greeting of shikamo. Shikamo literally means I grab your feet in humility. You like that?
Not really.
Not really. Stand up, man. All right. And so that's yeah, that is, and the proper greeting is marahaba. And we show respect. Our greeting is completely different. We would not just shake hands, which in East Africa, many times they would shake hands like this, all right? And they would just, as we're talking, they would just shake hands like that, very, 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 very friendly. But my goodness, if it was an older man, or a big one like this, if it was an older man, I would come to him with both hands open, and I put one hand on my forearm. No, sir. No, sir. No, you're the old man. Or you're the one I'm showing respect for. All right? All right? So I would come to him with one hand on my forearm. I could never look at him in the eye. If I looked at him in the eye, that culturally would show that I thought myself as equal. Now, how many of you would have difficulty with that? When I grew up as a boy, I grew up in the farm country in Kansas. My dad said, son, you shake their hand, you look up square in the eye, boy, square in the eye. Yes, sir. All right. So when I first went to Africa, I would look at them in the eye, and they wouldn't look at me in the eye. Because I was a pastor. I mean, that was, even though I was not one older than them, I had position. So that was also a sign of respect. And they wouldn't look at me in the eye. They were always kind of looking down. And I'm like, man, I tell you what, they can't look at anyone in the eye around here. Until someone explained, all right? So, shikamo, I would look at them slightly down. I wouldn't look at them in the eye. And being able to show proper respect. Very important. We had one missionary that was a newer missionary. And he thought all this was just kind of silly. He was American, all right? And he just knew how it was, you know? And so I was standing by him. We were just come out of church, and he just came there, and people were shaking hands. And then an elderly lady came by and shook his hand, and he did not show proper respect. And she looked at him, and very clearly in Swahili, she said, I'm so sorry. Is the place where you come from, do they not show respect to the aged? He looked at him and says, well, I'm a guest. You're supposed to show me respect. Woo! Me and that fellow, we had a talk afterwards. Why? Because we don't want to offend. Where they're sharing the gospel. And the gospel, even though the message could be offensive, we never want to be shown in an offensive way. Oh, how important that is. So we have several different things here. Let me just give you one illustration. Here, let me look here. I got... No, don't you go anywhere. All right, okay. All right. You're a big guy, but I could probably run faster. I'll get you. All right, okay. So here we go. Let's say here I just finally came through Bible college. 4 years of Bible college, seminary. Okay, then he came through deputation. Oh, finally, I get to the field. Woohoo! And then I feel like I can be able to serve God, and then I realized I got language school. All right. And then sometimes a year or more of language school and all of that, trying to be able to get it all worked out. And then finally, I've got enough where I can be able to present the gospel. Woo, this is exciting. The Lord has given me a particular area to be able to share the gospel. And boy, I've been praying. I'm all excited. I was able to get some Bible literature and to get it translated just right for that. And boy, this is all excited, all right? So then here I am. I'm the new missionary. I've got a track all translated, all just right. I'm getting ready to go into the village for the first time. And who do I meet on the path? Mr. Chief here. You need a name. We'll call you Chief. We'll call you Chief Ooga Booga or something like that. There we go. So what's his name? Ooga Booga. All right, there we go. All right. Okay, hey, Chief. So let me show you one more thing. I'm going to do something in most African cultures that would be highly offensive. Mostly, it does not matter the country or the culture of greeting. So let me say, okay, so here we go. Through all the Bible college, all language school, translation work, here we go. I'm coming in. And I'm going to tell the chief basically what I'm hoping to do in the village there. So depending on that culture of the area, we're just going to say that we showed proper greeting, all right? If it was in East Africa, Shikamo, all right? Yes. And then I gave him a track. All right. Now, this is what we're going to do. Now, in most cultures, what I just did was highly, highly offensive. Do you know what it is? Yeah. Huh? What is it? Use the left hand. That's right. That's exactly right. I used the left hand, and you received it with the left hand. So there you go. All right. So in most cultures in Africa and even in Southeast Asia, the left hand is considered dirty. You don't give or receive anything with the left hand. That would be seen as me doing it. That would appear to be very condescending towards you. Or it can be actually, in some countries, can be considered it actually placing a curse even upon a person by simply giving something with the left hand. Wow. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you. Yeah. How many realize you need to pray for your missionaries? Oh, yes. Just from little simple greetings of calling, shaking hands. And of course, we could talk all day about culture, believe me. You can talk all about it. I've been in 42 of the 54 countries in Africa. I've been in almost all of them, especially the ones that we can get people in. And we've learned all about culture. But I want you to just get a little taste of what a missionary goes through. You need to pray for your missionaries. Pray for your missionaries. They're learning the language so the gospel can be understood. It's not just giving medicine. It's not just building a building. It's not just fixing a car or anything like that. It is the gospel. Amen. It is the gospel. And because it's the gospel, we've got to be able to be sure the gospel is understood. And then it's not presented in an offensive manner. And next, we need to show, and I'll just a couple minutes on this. The gospel must go to all. If you read the passage there in Romans, there are two distinct groups. Those that can hear and those who cannot. How shall they hear without a... Yeah. Here's my question. Where should our emphasis be? To those who have heard the gospel and many times have rejected it over and over and over again? Or should our emphasis be on those who have yet to hear their first clear presentation of the gospel. God will manifest Himself to everyone. Close to a half of the world's population, He manifests Himself through nature. But the Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. That's the message. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no language nor speech where that voice is not heard. So they're actually, God has presented Himself through creation. But let me ask you, if God only did that for you, would you be saved today? Another question. How many of you accepted Christ the very first time you heard it? That's typical. Yeah, nobody. Some of us got the privilege of hearing it over and over and over and over again until it finally made sense. Nearly a half of the world's population is still waiting for that first time. And they better get it the first time. Oh, how we need to understand that. There are nearly 1,000 unreached people groups right now still on the continent of Africa. These people are living in this generation right now. Even with all the technology that we have and the capabilities we have, they are our responsibility. God has already spoken. We are to make sure that they receive the gospel. The Great Commission is for all. 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 Whatever God has called you to do, we need to consider doing it. And I would challenge you, consider doing it on the mission field. Whatever He's called you to do. Construction? Hey, let's do it on the mission field. If you got another skill, let's do it on the mission field. Let's use it in an area where we can give the greatest message out at the same time. You know, the feeding of the 5,000 is usually a beautiful illustration of giving out the gospel. You know, the wonderful thing when Jesus gave out the fish and the bread, it was the 5,000 men and then women and children. And the amazing thing is that all were fed. All were fed. There was even leftovers. Amen. How many like leftovers? I like leftovers better than the first time, usually. There's leftovers. But you know what? Today, the church is only reaching, if I could use the same illustration, we're only reaching the first few rows. There are regions beyond. We need to get the gospel back to the back row. We need to get the gospel to the people that are a little bit more difficult to reach. Maybe in some countries where do not have favorable governments. Satan is bringing opposition. But greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Giving out the gospel. You know, the wonderful thing is, y'all already know the language here. You've got the culture. Let's do it. Amen. God bless you.